We are back. Hello and welcome to edition 215 of the NRF1 podcast, because Norfolk knows Formula One. This is your podcast straight out of Norfolk, UK. We are also on Future Radio in Norwich, and we are here to kickstart the 2018 F1 season with our big preview. Coming up, what's getting you excited for the new season, whether we're ready to say hello to the hello, and we set out what is going to be, doesn't get any better, a very exciting year for both us and hopefully you lovely listeners too. I am sports journalist Michael Bailey. Hello there. And joining us all on the pod for our big lights out, we have a lot of people. I'm going to go around the table. We have two-times Beckles champion, Beckles kart champion,
yes, the one, yeah.
Kyle Cumbers.
Good evening.
We have my fellow NRF1 podcast founder, Perry Hamilton.
Hello.
We have Damon Hill, radical and blogger, Richard Baxter.
Good evening. That's changed from last year.
Yeah, we've refreshed. Reigning two-times NRF1 Prediction League champion.
Three times.
Predictions. Three-peat NRF1 Prediction League champion, Steve Rust.
Good evening.
We have budding F1 correspondent and Dan's brother. I've written that in because I have to write that in for Dan's introduction as well. Callum Springle.
Good evening.
And we have 2018 NRF1 newbie Stuart, as in Jackie Muller.
Hey, welcome. Hi.
Hello, Stuart. Thanks for joining us. Thank much appreciated. Much. How is everyone? How is your winter? Stuart, how was your winter?
It was pretty good, thank you.
We've got to do the questions that we always do, actually, haven't we? We did those on the WhatsApp group, but yes. Now we can tell the public. So, your favourite Formula One team?
It's McLaren.
Oh, dear. Your favourite Formula One driver?
Weirdly, Mark Webber.
But I have all Perry likes
I like
it.
That. I like that. I've got time for Webber. Yeah, I like that.
He, of course, learnt his trade in Norfolk. Sorry, it's a big table. Why Mark Webber?
Just grown to appreciate over time how sort of much of a raw driver he was, and especially through the Vettel years, how much he had to put up with. It sort of reminded me of like Massa and Schumacher sort of thing, and then Massa Alonso. It was, yeah, he was just really good raw racer.
Dude as well, Mark Webber.
Strong jawline.
The final two remaining questions we ask everyone: Senna or Prost?
Senna.
And Heikki Kovalainen or Jarno Trulli?
Heikki.
Any particular reason?
Truly train says it all, really, doesn't it?
Truly train says it all. Good to have you on, Stuart. Thank and we'll be much. Hearing much more of you, of course, throughout the course of the season. Everyone's winter. Anyone, what's the best story someone's got from the winter?
So I got so bored of missing Formula One, I went on YouTube and just searched, and I was watching the 1998 F1 season.
All of it?
Not all of it, most of it, a good majority. And you were talking about Trulli there. He was a nutter back then, as was Fisichella and Wurz and the Bennett. There were just crashes everywhere. It was awesome. I just kept rewinding that all day watching it.
What way to spend a winter.
That wasn't the Hill Budapest race? Was that 97?
That was 97. That was the Hill Spa race.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So. I was wondering why he chose that year, but obviously the Spa race makes sense.
Iconic race as well. Callum, how's your winter been?
I feel like, in keeping with tradition, I should probably say reasonably good.
That's exciting. I like that. Thank you for the podcast with you and your brother. Apologies. It did take a little bit longer. Although, of course, when I then did edit it, I realised you had a go at me for how long it was going to take me to edit. So then I didn't feel so bad about it. But, you know, you and your brother didn't argue, so that was good.
Didn't we?
No, yeah, I think you did a little bit. But, you know.
The first, to be honest.
Yeah. All getting on so well. We like it. But in all seriousness, episode 214, some great stuff from Dan and Callum, especially on how to get into Formula One and then the engineering path that Dan is taking. And hopefully we'll hear from him during the course of the season two. Right, I reckon we should get straight into it, because we don't really usually go live for a season before testing, which means that we actually then get to wait until it's all wrapped up and make some crazy conclusions from it. So we've had 8 days of testing in Barcelona. Everyone's had a go, I think, pretty much. And I want us to come up with 5 things we have learned from those 8 days around the Circuit de Catalunya. Learnings, excited things, rash conclusions. Ped?
Yeah, so I don't think the halo's as bad as everyone thought it was going to be.
because I think when they were trying it out last season and we got all those shots of it from test circuits, it was a bolt-on. It was literally something they brought and gone, let's clunk that on. Now they've had like a full off-season to integrate it and the colour schemes and everything. I liked what Ferrari did with their little aero bits on it. Dan will probably tell me I'm an idiot, I mean, because he understands stuff like that and I don't, but it's nice to see them kind of embracing it, and it's not as noticeable as I thought it would be. It's not as ugly as I thought it would be. I'd still prefer to not have it, but that's one of the things I learned from it, was actually it ain't that bad, you know. And to be fair, I think we all knew that was gonna be the case.
Well, I remember us all slagging it off. I think I did certainly. But what I found,
not we all, then maybe not we all knew that was gonna be the case. I think maybe the people in power knew that was gonna be the case, and we're like, everyone's gonna make us think about it, but at the end of the day, everyone's gonna kind of be cool with it.
It does look higher, and it looks like it's more natural fitting in the cars now than it was going to be. Carl, you folded your arms and sat backwards, so I'm looking forward to this.
I still hate it. Yeah, it just looks horrible. It just doesn't look like a racing car to me. But I was speaking to somebody who was at the tests, and they said after a little while you get used to it. So I may get used to it, but I don't want to get used to it, which is... I'm worried if, as a kid, if I was looking at that, I'd think, what the hell is that? And why am I watching this? Because that just looks bizarre. But I may be wrong. Kids may not worry, and new fans may not worry, but... yeah, it just doesn't look like a proper racing car to me.
I think it'll just be one of those things after two or three races. I don't think you'll notice so much. I remember when the regulations came in, change in 2009, I think it was, and people were like, they've made the cars look really ugly. But then we all got used to that, and you look back to the spec before, and then you go, whoa, God, the outlet looks weird. So I think you just get used to it, to be honest.
Especially as it's prevalent in pretty much every open cockpit racing now, isn't it? I think as it had to come in into all of them, I think.
Cause it's not in Indy.
Not in Indy. No.
It's not in GP3 or Formula 3 or anything like that. It's in like F2 and that kind of level.
Is it in Formula 3?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Where is it? Yeah, they're introducing it for the next range of next season's
cars. It's what, like 2019 or something like that?
Okay, so it's not in the current year.
I think Steve's hit the nail on the head there. I think in 2-3 years' time, we're going to look back at cars without halos, and we're going to go, oh my God, how did we think that was normal? When we look back, I was watching a TV show the other day, and they showed someone smoking in a break room at work. And I just remember thinking, oh my God, that was totally normal. But I've completely put that out of my mind. Like, how weird is that? And I think Steve's hit the nail on the head. 2 years' time, we're going to look back and go, oh my God, how weird did cars look without halos? They just don't look right. They look bare. They look empty. They look dangerous. That's what we're going to think.
I hope that was Mad Men you were watching.
It was The Office. Oh. Actually.
Crunch.
And there was a lady smoking in the break room.
That'd be the British Office, the
yes,
original.
Yes, of course. Yeah, 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 absolutely.
The proper office. Yeah. And likewise with the cars, when they didn't have the padding around the cockpit, and they just used to be like a massive open space that you could literally just get
helmets
out.
Helmets didn't have the neck braces that go on them and everything.
You see the shoulders and arms sticking complete the whole way up the cockpit.
Okay, well, so it's going to be a bit safer. We've got that. Anything else from Tessie? Go on, Callum.
Well, I suppose in keeping with the office theme, you could say about the halo that some of the complaints will be false. I thought I'd add that in.
That's a solid reference from Callum. That's very well done. Mike's, just FYI, listeners, Mike's looking at him absolutely blankly. Not a fan of The Office,
Mike? No, I've got the box set, but it is like...
You've not watched it recently, have you? I haven't watched it for a long time. Also, hats off to Callum.
Sorry, Callum. For
a younger man, that's a strong reference to make.
Well, I'm glad Perry's backed you up there, because I was struggling. Is there a point, an embellishable point on that as well, Callum?
What, other than something on the halo?
No, anything else? Anything else away from the halo? Any other learnings from testing? Yes, Rich?
I think something that I kind of saw, that everything we know is not everything we know from testing.
Yes.
Because there's still a lot of questions. We saw reliability from Honda. Have they actually turned their engine up so it actually has more power, or is this just like them keeping it low so it works to try and make themselves look good? Mercedes haven't used the whatever the softer ones were, Ultras or Hypers or...
Oh yeah, which one, Callum?
The soft tyres.
That's right, we listed them all, didn't we? Can you remember what we said?
I think it was like the hard and the soft.
That's right, instead of what would the rest of the public call them?
Hyper soft and super hard.
It's just hard and soft. Yeah, good. At least we've clarified that. I think that's essential, because you know, that is how we're going to refer to it for the rest of the year.
And you know, McLaren downplaying all their reliability issues as well.
There's really no problem here. We're absolutely fine. This is kind of why we don't do any podcasts before testing, because I hate testing. I love it and then hate it as well, because it's just so limited in what you can read into it. Anything eye-catching from testing that you noticed, Stuart?
I was just going to touch on more of the Honda stuff. Like, you barely had any problems with Toro Rosso. It was a solid lot of testing. So the Honda engine works. So hopefully, you know, we can see them much more further in the midfield. And it'd be nice. Well, it'd be interesting if they're fighting with McLaren, really.
I don't think that was quite five things that we learned, but it's close enough for me. Go on.
And I think someone round this table may have also repeated it on Twitter, but I really liked Red Bull's like non-racing livery.
Yes,
I really, really liked. Yes. Was it you on Twitter, Rich?
Yeah. I was really angry about this, so I wrote a little. I punched the keyboard, whinging so much about why make it.
I was quite disappointed when they said it wasn't the thing, and then Rich tweeted out something about it. Look, I will say later, because I did say it first, Rich, but I just think, I was quite upset that because it was a nice livery. I can understand why. It's like a what do they call it? Like a
PR stunt?
No. It's like a type of camouflage that actually makes it. There's a boat on the Thames that has a really weird. It's not camouflage, but there's a term for it. If anyone can help me out with what it is, there is a specific term for a type of camouflage that is not designed to make it blend into the background, but is designed to mess up your eyes when you look at it. You can't quite figure out what you're looking at. And I think that was kind of, because obviously they don't want people looking at it and going, oh, I see with this curve they've done there and the wing over there. It is a type of camouflage that they are using. But it just looks so much cooler. Just one season. You can go back to looking like the Red Bulls you've looked like forever. Because it's the branding, isn't it? And it is 100% branding. Red Bull is all branding. But just do something a little different. Like when Toro Rosso came out and they had that chrome and blue and red. I mean, I still think that's one of the sexiest looking cars on the grid.
I have to say, I just assumed it was a PR stunt and then was reliably informed that it was to make sure that some of the updates weren't quite picked up by everyone else. And I love that. I think that's brilliant. Right, we may well have a longer discussion on that and on this as well in our first exclusive Patreon podcast. You can find out about how to listen to that later on in the podcast. But a most eye-catching thing about any of the new cars unveiled, maybe just one thing of any of the cars that you thought, whew, gone rich.
Side pods. Every single one is just a complete difference to last year, it seems. Even the Ferrari, which was, you know, the ones who seemed to make the jump last year on the design anyway. This year, everyone's gone for these kind of really bizarre and high and wide side pods.
Later in the podcast, we'll be laying out exactly how the 2018 season will look for the NRF1 podcast. We hope you'll be as excited as we are. But here's a quick reminder of the best places to interact with us on social media. You can follow us on Twitter at the NRF1, Instagram at the NRF1, Facebook at the NRF1. They are the handles for all three. You could also join and post in our Facebook group. If you go to the Facebook page, you'll find the link to the group again involved there. We love getting your emails too. We had some absolute blinders last season. The address is nrf1podcast@gmail.com. And of course, there is our website too that ties everything together. Visit nrf1.uk for all the links you could possibly need to immerse yourself in this awesome podcast.
Hello everyone, this is Jake Humphrey here. You're listening to the best Formula One podcast from the best county in the world, the NRF1 podcast. And I wasn't paid any money to say that.
No, I did give you some beers.
Now, all of those places is where we did ask the following question. What has got you excited for Formula One in 2018? We asked it on all our social media platforms and had a load of answers too. So hopefully through all these answers, we will get to preview pretty much everything that's going to happen in the next 12 months. So let's start with the Huggies 153. That's Dave the Hat on Twitter. He says he wants 8 different winners in the first 8 races. Fingers crossed emoji. Alonso fighting at the front end of midfield. Hamilton bringing his game face every race and being pushed to his limit. 8 different winners in the first 8 races. Now that did happen in 2012, wasn't it? Which was our first season of doing this.
Seven races, and that was one of the closest seasons we had had in years.
Anyone think we're going to get anything like that? Is that going to happen? Callum shaking his head. Callum?
No, I can't help but feel this quite ominous with Mercedes being the way they are and Lewis Hamilton getting quite arrogant about how they hadn't run low fuel in testing. Plus also with how they got over the issues at the end of last year and completely dominated Abu Dhabi, which shouldn't really have been their track at all. Again, there's the fact last year's car was completely, or quite heavily compromised, yet they still had the fastest speed outright, whereas this year's isn't, because they haven't had any trick suspension taken away, and the car is, in terms of its weight, it's fine.
Sam Todd, 15. Sam Todd, hello there, Sam. Thanks for getting in touch, as always. Hopefully 2018 will be the year hashtag Ask Steve kicks off. That's what Sam hopes for. I mean, we have been trying.
We've been pushing Ask Steve since Steve joined. Yeah, oh my goodness!
Start, though,
yeah. Thanks, Sam.
Oh. Glad that somebody's actually picked up on it.
The great thing that is such a rich seam of content that no one's tapped into yet, and it doesn't have to be about Formula One, I reckon. So anyway, hopefully, Sam. Yeah. Likewise, kick it off yourself, mate. He also carries on with that. Actually, he does. Maybe this is what he means. With that, do you see a realistic title challenge all the way through the season from all three top teams? Steve, for you.
No, I was actually going to say that is one of my things I'm looking forward to. I think there will be a three-way title fight. I don't think it's massively close, but I think all of the top three have got capability to win races regularly.
That would be good, wouldn't it? Sam continues, to be fair, I'm just excited for the racing to start again, but fear it may be an all-Mercedes show once again. So I think he actually agrees with you in the end, Callum. Also going to be more prominent in the predictions this year, he says. Hashtag goals. We'll see, Sam. Fingers crossed. NFD Holder, which is Nick Holder on Twitter. What's getting him excited is Honda showing some form. Now, a little story about Nick. I think Nick spent his winter... Now, you watched the 1998 Formula 1 season. Nick spent his winter listening to our entire back catalogue of podcasts and actually documented the differing changes in pronunciation of Daniel Ricciardo, which is a colossal effort. Nick, you are our hero.
Nick. Are you okay, dude?
Yes, he's fine. Oh, okay. What a brilliant way to spend your winter, Ped.
Just wanted to, make sure.
But he does also say Honda showing some form. Stuart mentioned it a moment ago. Ped, Honda showing some form. It's going to be fascinating, really, isn't it? Because Toro Rosso, of course, is going to be the main keep. Well, they are the main keepers of Honda this year, while McLaren dilly themselves off with some Renault action. So just imagine if Toro Rosso brought the best out of Honda.
Well, I mean, they're well-funded. They're well-supported. They've always been a team. I mean, historically, when you think back of Toro Rosso, maybe not over the last couple of years, but when you think of Toro Rosso from a little bit before that, you always think, they were a feeder team in many ways, but they were missiles in a straight line. They were always had really good straight line speed. They were very fast cars in a straight line. That's probably not a rich tapestry of history that's going to follow them into the 2018 season. I think we'd all be happy with a little bit of reliability, as in they would, and I think we would as well. If you start seeing Honda cars out by the side of the track again, I think you're going to get a big backlash of people kind of... And bear in mind, Liberty are going to do absolutely everything they can to keep the fans interested and keep the fans happy and keep the fan base growing. So having cars falling apart on the side of the road doesn't help that. So what would Liberty do? How would they step in? What testing mid-season would they open up? How would they change the game to make it so that, more updates can be brought in and things like that? I think that's something you've got to bear in mind.
I've included one of my own tweets in here, maybe because I posted one first. I said, I'm excited by the prospect of Max Verstappen in a quick, reliable car. If Red Bull deliver that for him this season, I can't wait to see the results. To which Rich chirped up in our Facebook group, NRF1 podcast Facebook group. He thinks Daniel Ricciardo will have something to say about that. Kyle, what do you reckon?
I think Max will beat Ricciardo convincing this year, and Ricciardo will head off to Mercedes.
To Mercedes?
Because of Max, yeah. I think all the backing from the team will go towards Max, and Dan will have enough and head off.
Will there be a seat to Mercedes? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, yeah. I think Bottas is on the way.
Norfolk's next top prospect, isn't it?
George Russell.
Did you see what Lewis Hamilton let that slip? Yeah, he basically sort of talked about when he might possibly call it a day, and he sort of said, "Oh, I'll probably be handing the baton to him." And then he said, "Oh, but I think it'll be there before then anyway." So he's like, "Oh, right, okay."
Maybe he means in a testing capacity. Maybe he means to be like a reserve driver.
No, he was talking about seats. He was like, "I'll pass the baton to him." Yeah. I'll probably
already be in a seat before.
No, he said he'll be there before then anyway.
Yeah. So, do you think Valtteri will leave or Lewis will leave?
Valtteri will leave. He'll go back to I think he'll leave, and the seat's open for Danny Rick.
Golden stuff, Carl. Love that, love that. Gaza Trek, Gary Davison on Twitter. Hello there, Gary. Thanks for getting in touch at the start of the season. Ditto, he says he's excited for Alonso and McLaren. Stuart, Alonso and McLaren. This is it. They've had such a good car the last 2 or 3 years. This is the time to show it. Now they've got rid of that shit engine.
He needs to change his name, because every time he got in it in testing, you know, Van Dorn, you know, got in, did hundreds of laps, and as soon as Alonso steps in the car, it just breaks down. So, I don't know. I really hope for his sake. He's such a talented driver. He really deserves to be up there now.
It's all right. He's won it twice. What more does he want?
Yeah, but so is Hamilton. Yeah. And Vettel.
Apex TT, Kieran Cousins. Hello there, Kieran. Charles Leclerc is exciting him. If he can keep his form from F2, he'll definitely be sniffing at Kimi's seat for next year. Can't wait to see what he can do in the new Alfa Romeo Sauber. So that's exciting, obviously, the prospect of Alfa Romeo Sauber. Yeah, Kyle?
I don't like it.
No?
I like Alfa Romeos, but I don't like them associated with Sauber.
Fair enough. Maybe you own one, so that would be part of the reason. Charles Leclerc?
Great driver. Don't think I've seen any driver at F2 level that's been that convincing in winning the championship. I think pretty much for every race apart from Monaco and the races where he was disqualified from qualifying through reasons that were no fault of his own, I think he was on the podium in every race. So, yeah, it's just very high expectations and a very good seat to try and build on his reputation.
It's a difficult seat for him, though, isn't it? Because nobody really respects Ericsson. So if he doesn't...
It's like a Wehrlein. The poison chalice, yeah, from Wehrlein. Like, if he doesn't beat him convincingly, he's done.
That would be Marcus Ericsson, who, of course, learnt his craft in Norfolk. You know, we all know what quality he has, and he can deliver on his day. It's just he hasn't quite had a day in F1 yet. So maybe this will be the year. Maybe this will be the year. And on the Facebook group, Dee got in touch. She said, Lewis Hamilton all the way. Our champ still has lots more to show and records to break. We are not a Team Lewis podcast, but there we go. That is a Team Lewis post.
That's just because Melissa's not here.
Yeah, it is.
If Melissa was here, we definitely would be a Team Lewis podcast.
That's very true. Mrs. Hamilton. Dan Springle, who is your brother, Callum, he on the WhatsApp group, he couldn't make it tonight. What's he doing? Is he doing anything important?
I think he's at uni, but he's back tomorrow. So...
Fair play.
Missed the boat.
Well, fair play, because you could have just said no. that would have dug him out. He's excited by seeing how well Toro Rosso and Honda and that partnership goes. Whether McLaren's chassis is really as good as they've claimed for 2 to 3 years. Good point, Dan. Whether there's a Mercedes-Ferrari-Red Bull title fight. But whatever little you can read from testing suggests it's the status quo. Boo, Dan, boo. And what Liberty have done to improve the live broadcasts, which is, of course, always interesting. And, of course, F1 TV. Is on its way this year, so effectively people won't have to bother with a television provider unless you're in the UK, because we've still got Sky, and it's basically being underlined that Channel 4 won't be doing anything in terms of free-for-view TV after 2019, will they? Or even in 2019, I think. So I guess we've all got an interest in this, haven't we, Steve?
Well, yeah. I forget whether they're doing 2019 or whether this is the last season and it ends to it. I'd have to look that one up. But yeah, I mean, because you can now pay for... Because I heard an advert on the radio. You can now pay for just F1 with your Sky-like subscription, so you don't have to pay for a whole package of other things if that's all you want to watch sport-wise, which I think was £18 a month, which I think was quite reasonably priced.
I don't know. Well, I guess that's probably around what F1 TV will be. Is it more expensive?
About half the price.
Half the price.
F1 TV is about $8 to $10 a month, yeah. I think, or $8 to $12, something like that.
Which is a model that works for the NFL, isn't it, and the NBA and all those sort of things.
I pay for an NFL game pass, and you get a lot of back catalogue and stuff like that, but I think I only pay for it during the season. So I think the same with Formula One. Because I have Sky, other providers are available, but I have Sky, and that is on all year long. I don't watch it outside of the season, and I don't watch anything other than the races and occasionally some practice, but all of the specific content that they make for the channel, I don't watch. All of the reruns, I don't watch. So there's value to it. I think maybe you need to consider, because I know the NBA, though you can pay to follow a single team, which is cheaper than following the whole league, and you can pay for certain games per week. You don't have to pay for every game. So they give you different pricing plans. So I think if Liberty were to introduce something like that,
to say you can pay for just the season, you can pay for just the races and qualifying, or you can pay for all year, or you can pay for races, qualifying, practice and warm-up races, or whatever it is, then I think if you put some different plans out there, people will appreciate the choice.
I think they've already kind of suggested that's what they're thinking, and these guys know what they're doing.
We're going to take credit for it.
Wouldn't be the first time we've suggested how F1 should do it and then they take us up on it. Speaking of which, tyres. So let's get this right. Last year we had hard, medium, soft, super soft. That was it, wasn't it?
And ultra soft.
So this year we've got all those, but we've got hard. That's right. And soft. Yep. Are we excited by that, Carl? Carl, you're our tyre guru.
Well, I do love tyres, but they probably could have made it a little bit more simpler.
And you do like fucking hard.
No comment. They could have made it a little bit simpler. I like the 7 different compounds. They could have just gone to each race and said, this is soft, medium, hard. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
And then they could have said at the start of the weekend or start of the race, well, we've got the hyper soft, soft, medium this weekend.
I think, right, so I'm married. Long-time listeners will know that. Hang on. All right, cynics. All right, calm down. I'm married, so that means that I've occasionally had to go shopping with my wife for clothing. Right, okay. And if you go to somewhere like Topshop, they don't have skinny leg, straight leg, low rise. They give their jeans names. Girls' names, like Lizzie and things like that. So instead of having hyper soft... Yeah, they do. Thank you, Rich. Say that louder so everyone can hear that I'm not going crazy.
I'm saying, yes, true, they do.
They do. They do. So instead of having hyper soft, soft, ultra soft, hard, medium, soft, name them after F1 legends.
Good they were.
So name your tyres after. So you'd have the Ayrton, you'd have the Alan, you'd have the Nigel, you'd have, and then you pick the front names and just be like, so this race, we're using Nigel's, Ayrton's, and I don't know, Yoss or whatever.
Luke Vanilla has the very hard time.
just name the tyres after F1 legends instead of having stupid names for it.
I love it. Well, let's open it up to you guys at home. If a driver was a type of tyre compound, let us know which it would be.
It's not about matching the driver to the type of tyre. That's not the point. No, the point is just give them names that give them some prestige and give some honour and stuff like that to the people that have come before.
Nigel. He's putting on the Nigels.
Make it a gimmick. Oh, is it about time for the Nigel? It's Nigel time. Boom.
It's Nigel time.
Each country, so you have legends from each country.
Yes, absolutely.
You have a Sterling, Kyle, Nigel.
Kyle gets
Damon.
Sterling. Oh, that'd be good.
Kvyat in Russia. That'd be brilliant. Yeah.
So they're named corners after drivers.
Yeah. So why not this?
Time for the Nigels. What a start. Right, okay. Let's move it on. New and returning tracks. Can anyone remember what the calendar's like? I think it's 21 races, isn't it? 21 races. French Grand Prix is back. And that's at Paul Ricard, isn't it? How excited are we about that?
Not very.
Right?
It's a bit of a track.
Excellent.
Does it have sprinklers on it?
Oh, God.
I have no idea
of sprinklers in the middle of the race. It's a testing track, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
I wonder if they...
So it probably does, actually. At
least on certain parts.
Well, let's hope they don't press that. What?
That'd be brilliant if it went wrong, though, didn't it? You know.
Just by accident.
Oh, yeah.
Someone might do that.
Bernie finally goes.
Yeah. Bernie will be doing it in the background, you know. Okay, that's it. The German Grand Prix is back as well, isn't it, if I remember right? And it's at Hockenheim, so that's exciting, of course, to have Hockenheim back. Malaysia is gone, which only kind of hit me when I was writing out the calendar, but it might come back. Maybe. You never know. No, Carl's saying no, all right.
It might come back the same way as the Indian Grand Prix might come back.
Yeah, so never. And the rookies is the other thing we want to touch on. So Charles Leclerc is, of course, racing for Sauber this year. Are there any more? Sorokin. Callum, you're like my rookie guru.
Sorokin is bang average. I mean, I think he did produce probably one of the best race performances I've ever seen. At least in what was then GP2, I think it was in 2016 at Hockenheim. There was some sort of pit infringement, so then he had to come in and change rear to pit and change tyres again. Still won the race. It was good going, but
so expect that then.
He still massively bottled the championship that year. went into the 2016 season going, oh yeah, I'm going to be world champion this year. He was out of it by Monaco, basically. So.
He's going to be in a Williams, isn't he? And Robert Kubica is the test driver for Williams this year. So we never know. We might get to see him over the course of the season.
That's one of my things I'm excited about in the season. Just the chance. That we'll see some Robert out there.
We will see.
I'm only going to refer to drivers by their first name now. You're not going to know whether I'm talking about drivers or tyres now.
Great.
Just thrown a loop.
That will work out well, I think. I like that.
What if the driver had the same first name as that set of tyres was called?
Double points if they win. If you win on a set of tyres named after you, you get double points.
Any more rookies? Is that it? Is it just those two? Sorokin and
Hartley's full debut season.
Okay, we'll see how they get on. Of course, Esteban Ocon kind of did the same the year before, and then he took off like an express train in his first full season, so we'll see. I don't think either of those two are going to do that, but there we go. That will be exciting. Right, you can make sure you catch all of our key NRF1 podcasts by subscribing via your podcast player of choice. Just visit nrf1.uk/podsubscribe and you'll find the link for you, be it iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Spreaker, Stitcher, Acast, and we hopefully have added a few more, including Spotify and Radio Public. But of course, if your player still isn't included, then just let us know with an email to nrf1podcast@gmail.com. And of course, please, if you can, rate and review the podcast on iTunes. That would be lovely. nrf1.uk/isonitunes. Okay, so big news. This is time for some big news. We love what we do here at the NRF1 podcast. This is our 7th season of action, and we've got more of you guys listening to us than ever before, more joining in with our prediction league, more ideas of things we can do to make this little F1 club the best it can be. So we have decided to do it properly. We have set up our own NRF1 club, and we would love for you to become a member and immerse yourself in the world's greatest sport alongside us. It's not just about us continuing to do what we do, but adding to it. So you can join us by visiting patreon.com/NRF1, patreon.com/NRF1. For just $2 per month, that's less than £2, that's about as good as my economics is, you will get access to all our bonus podcasts, videos, blogs and posts. There will be exclusive t-shirts, posters, stickers, badges, membership card, official entry into the Prediction League with prizes after every Grand Prix, live interactive videos, all sorts. And if there's anything you think should be included, then just let us know. Again, visit patreon.com/NRF1 and you can join us for real. Now, for a little bit extra, we thought we'd ask Dave and Tom, our good friends at the Dat's Life podcast, what's getting them excited ahead of the 2018 Formula One season. Here's what they had to say, and make sure you check out Dave and Tom's podcast, the Dat's Life podcast.
So, Dave, what is exciting you about the new F1 season 2018?
For me, it's not Formula One at all. It's seeing how Fernando Alonso gets on in the World Endurance Championship.
Ah!
Curveball.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that.
You weren't expecting that one? See, I just wanted to see your reaction. Obviously Fernando Alonso has signed to drive for Toyota. Toyota, obviously, in World Endurance Championship, almost won Le Mans last year. Didn't quite make it.
What do you make of the fact that they moved a race to fit Alonso in?
To fit one driver? Yeah, you can't do that really, can you? I mean, you can't have one rule just because one driver couldn't make it. That's like...
But the thing that I didn't know was that it meant a lot of them that are in the World Endurance will clash with another form that they're in. Is it supercars or some?
No, it's the Super Cup, Japanese Super Cup. A lot of the drivers driving that as well.
So instead of one guy would miss a race, it's going to make a few of them miss a race now.
Yeah, exactly.
But
exactly.
Because it's this big name in F1, I don't agree.
It just carries that bit more clout. And obviously, of course, it's all going to impact on how Alonso performs in the actual Formula One racing itself. Because he's going to be, he's going to be, I don't know, he's going to be like racing every weekend pretty much, isn't he?
And it's not like he's young. He 30, how old is he now?
He's 30s, isn't he? Mid-30s, 36 or something. So it's going to be a hell of an endurance test for him.
So bring it back to F1, because it is the NRF1 podcast, not NRWEC podcast.
Right.
What else is exciting you for the new season?
Well, we've got the new race, of course, in Paul Ricard. When I say new, of course, we're going back to Paul Ricard for the first time since 1990. Or was it 1989, 1990, one of the two. So we will be seeing a new France back on the calendar, which is where it rightly belongs, I would say.
Yeah, for sure. I think for me, the grid kids, how the grid kids work, and so I'm quite intrigued to see what sort of ages and how they're going to pick them. And what kind of jobs are going to, if it's just going to be a case of stand like the grid girls used to do.
And it just shows how much they're changing the sport as well, to bring it, to modernise the sport.
Yeah. So I think with the thing with the grid girls is it kind of showed girls that if they want to get into F1, their best shot is to be a grid girl as opposed to driving a car.
Indeed.
Which I can kind of see how is the wrong thing for young girls who want to drive.
I mean, there were never any grid guys, were there?
Exactly, yeah. Because I thought perhaps they could have done half and half. But obviously they've gone for a completely new thing with grid kids, which I think for the kids will be brilliant. It would be like the best day of their lives. So.
As a kid, I would have signed up for that for every single race.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Could you imagine?
Oh, it's just a shame that we're too old to sign up to it.
I'd be a grid girl. If they want. And our final note, we're just going to throw this one out here. We're excited, also excited about to see Lewis Hamilton's hairstyle for the new season. And we here at That's Life podcast have a sneaking suspicion that Lewis might have had a hair transplant. Thanks for having us on the show again, guys. And we're going to be running our own season preview for the new season. So check out our podcast. It's That's Life, and we'll see you then.
Thank you, and halo. No, goodbye.
So the NRF1 Prediction League will be in full flow again for 2018. Of course, it's the best prediction league out there because it's basically a free-for-all. It's like the Wild West. Previous rules exist. Predictions must be submitted before the start of FP1 each weekend. There is now also a new rule. We have two rules. This is the second rule. No more than 5 predictions per race. It's quite a harsh rule, that. But it's for my own sanity.
So what happens if they provide 6? Do you just take the top 5?
Yes. Okay. It'll be the first 5 you predict, and I will draw a line. Likewise, if you predict a podium, you could have that as one prediction, but of course then you'd need to get all of the podium right, as opposed to predicting the top 3 places, which would be 3 predictions. It's your call, whichever way you want to do it. It goes for all of us as well, of course, and it's the same with the pre-season predictions, and Rich has already revealed that might scupper what he had already come up with.
I've got plan B, it's fine, I've got plan B.
Yeah. Never doubt you, Rich. We will bring you everyone's predictions in full in our bonus Patreon podcast, which all of our patrons will be able to listen to at patreon.com/NRF1. So for now, let's have a couple of choice ones from the crew. Who wants to make a prediction in terms of what's going to happen this season? Callum, go on, give us one.
Alonso will either win Le Mans or the World Endurance Championship, or both.
Oh. Wow, Stuart, you pursed your lips on that.
That would be pretty good. He deserves something. So at least something for the season.
I can hear you willing him.
Triple crown.
So I've got one. The championship won't be decided until the last race.
There you go.
Stick with that,
that's Steve straight in
that's
there.
Big for Steve.
Shut up.
Yeah, there's a reason why Steve's now a 3 times prediction league champion. Stuart, your debut. Do you want to give us a prediction for the season?
Right on the spot.
Yeah. I do that a lot, that sorry.
Verstappen to win 4 races?
Ooh. Would that be more or less than you'd think, Carl?
Less. My prediction will be Haas will achieve a podium this year.
Someone tipped you the wink?
No, not at all, no.
A Haas podium?
Yes.
Yeah. Wow.
Wet Monaco.
Yeah, what have they done to the car?
Just made it a good one.
It is quick, because there was a suggestion they basically did it for the sponsors.
It's a quick car. Yeah. So, confident.
Kyle's got a glint in his eye. I love seeing that. Rich?
I was going to predict the 3 lowest teams in the Constructors' Championship.
Well, we're going to hear it on the bonus podcast then, because I want to hear that one. And I'm not going to make one. Should I make one?
I'll make one. I think we will see racing from Kubica this year. I think he'll race.
In a Grand Prix?
In a Grand, yeah. Yes, we will see Formula One Grand Prix racing from Robert Kubica and Williams this year.
Wow, I love that.
You know what's going to happen? Sorokin's going to clatter off. He's not going to be well enough to race the next week, and they're going to stick him in the car. Or they'll go, oh, hang on, let's hold him out because of safety. We've got a proven veteran. We know we're all right. They're going to make some canny business decisions at Williams, and Kubica's going to end up in a car this year, racing.
Speaking about Alonso, he hasn't made the first two, the opening Grand Prix of the last 2 years, has he? I don't think. Off the top of my head, or he's certainly been involved in crashes and testing and all sorts. So it'll be interesting to see if he actually makes it's Australia. I might be wrong, but that's what off my mind. Or just finishes the race. I think one of the Toro Rossos will finish the season ahead of a McLaren. Wouldn't that be awesome? It'd be so funny. I think that would be hilarious. I think that will do for now. You can hear the rest of our predictions of the season over at patreon.com/NRF1. Now, of course, the season kicks off in Australia. We'll have a very quick preview of it because it's the first race and everyone's really interested in what the season's going to look like as a whole. But it kind of feels like the perfect place to start off the season now, doesn't it, Albert Park, Rich?
It's always the right place to start the season. They moved it around. I think they started in Bahrain one time. I think that was the most dull race in existence. I don't know. But no, Albert Park's always the right place to start off. It's always good.
I mean, good seasons kind of draw out the suspense, but then every season starts out really exciting, doesn't it? Kind of just because we don't really know what we're going to get.
I wouldn't say exciting per se. I mean, intriguing, yes.
I know you'd say intriguing.
Why?
Because you're an intrigued person.
I could choose to take that as a compliment.
Yeah, definitely, of course.
What was the question?
I don't think there was one, to be honest.
Callum gets about as excited as Morrissey's stag party, doesn't he? It's just, he's got, I love you, man. It's brilliant. It's just like, are you excited about the start of the new season? Not really. Oh, cool. Well, that's not contagious at all. Thanks, pal.
Gold is gold. This is why people listen to us. Who needs a fast start in Australia?
It's McLaren, don't they? They need to come out of the blocks, especially after this testing run. They just need a decent race. Both to finish the points.
They're just not going to, though, are they?
Probably not, no.
Ridiculous stuff. Betting predictions, Carl, do you reckon we'll get some over the course of the year? There's no pressure.
No, I sort of struggled with all the engine penalties towards the end of last season. I'd do a prediction and then Thursday I'd come out and say, well, so-and-so's got a 10-place grid penalty. That just wipes out my...
Unintended consequences.
Exactly. Yeah. Can't make money out of it due to all these engine penalties.
Well, fingers crossed. If they are, you'll see them either at nrf1.uk or patreon.com/nrf1. So, of course, predictions for the race. They will all be in our exclusive Patreon podcast. Make sure you submit yours if you want to get involved in the Prediction League this year. All you need to do is post them ahead of FP1 in Melbourne. So let's take a couple now. What's going to happen in Australia? Ped?
Just because they've not been mentioned at all during our discussions, I'm going to give Renault a top 10 finish. I'm going to give Renault a top 8 finish.
You were a big fan last year, weren't you?
I was pushing Renault, and I think Sainz in a Renault is going to be very good this year as well. I think he's going to be quick. I think towards the end of last year they showed some strength. I think their engine's going to be reliable, and I think they're going to be a quick car. I think they kind of have to be because they've stuck their neck out a little bit. They've put, you know, given their engines out. They've got Sainz in. They're young and exciting. So yeah, I think we're going to get a top 8 finish out of them in Australia.
That'll be good. And we haven't really spoken about Force India either, but there we go. Okay, come on. What was that facial expression, Carl?
Yeah, they're in trouble.
Yeah.
I think they've run out of money, and they've really struggled to integrate the halo. I think it cost them proportionally quite a lot more than any of the other teams, and they were behind on one of the updates and ended up saying, or pushing it back to Melbourne. So they're effectively, like McLaren, 2 weeks out of pocket in terms of testing.
Ouch. Do you want to give a Force India prediction in Australia?
Well, I don't think they'll be in the top 10.
That's a prediction. Anyone else?
It's quite a pretty car, though.
Yeah.
That's got one thing going for them.
Yeah. Pink again, isn't it?
So to be fair, they might well do, seeing as pretty much every year in Australia you get a load of mechanical issues. So, who knows?
Who knows? So, is that a prediction then, or do you want me to scrub that prediction?
What, that they won't be, but they might be?
Yeah. So, is that two predictions? One they won't be, and the other one is they might be. Yeah. Love that. Anyone else, Stuart?
Maybe a Ferrari getting up there second.
Yeah.
Maybe fighting for the lead, but they said they're holding stuff in reserve as well, but who knows?
It's all a game of cat and mouse at this point. Rich, I'm looking at you. Do you want to give us one?
I think we'll see Leclerc have quite a strong start. I think we could see him
beat quite a few of the more experienced drivers there. And I'm going to go as far as saying that he will finish 12th.
There we go. Right, that's it. I just need something that I can actually check. Brilliant. Ped, do you want to give one?
Quantitative data, not quality
thank
data.
Thank you, Ped. We are done. Enjoy the run-up to the action in Australia. We will return with E216, our Australia review podcast and bonus podcast shortly after the Albert Park action. And don't forget, we have plenty of exclusive content ahead of the new season over at patreon.com/nrf1. Please check out the page and join us in our quest to make F1 the most fun it can be this side of a microphone. In the meantime, it's thanks to Future Radio and goodbye from the crew, from Kyle.
Goodbye.
Ped.
Goodbye.
Rich.
Bye.
Steve.
Bye.
Callum.
Bye.
Stuart, good debut.
Yeah, very good, thank you.
Good.
And goodbye.
And goodbye. And me, Michael, goodbye, goodbye. This has been the NRF1 podcast. The season has been previewed, which means Lights Out isn't far away, and we can't wait. So try to get some sleep in ahead of March the 23rd, because we've got an Uber year ahead. Or maybe that should be a year ahead, I don't know. Goodbye!